Love the Lord. He's coming. He is coming to get his church. Who is his church anyway? Aren't we supposed to be? Yes, we are. And while we are here upon this earth, there is something in us that holds back every evil. It's called salt. This is going to be my message this morning. You are the salt of this world. Why would Jesus use that topic? It's very interesting. If you go years ago when you grow up, at least I, when the preserved meat, like we say pork loin, whatever they did, they didn't cure them except through salt. They rubbed them with salt and put them in a cool place. And that preserved the meat. Now, when Jesus took that phrase and said, "You are the salt of this earth," he meant it, what he said. He just didn't say it. We are a preservative. For what? There's a reason for that. And it's very clear in the Word of God what he meant with it. Because the Word of God, when he says something, explains it. You have to dig it. It explains what he's meaning of it. What the consequences are if you are not using that salt. And you even use the salt shaker. Now you put salt in a salt shaker, and all of a sudden you put it. If you don't use it, it's worthless. Now if you or me don't live that life as a salt shaker and make no waves or nothing, we're worthless. We have to use it. We have to be completely involved in the things that God wants you to be involved. And before I get into this message, let's ask and rise the Lord to bless us and bless the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God, that we can lean on you, not on our own understanding. And I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, touch my lips and my heart just to speak what you want me to speak. Lord, I ask you to bless this service, and I commit it into your hands. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he told them, "You are the salt of this world." So could you put that verse up? Matthew 5, verse 13, when the Lord told his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Now that's a mouthful. If you are worthless, if you don't want, as a born-again Christian, if you don't live a life that is pleasing to the Lord in seeking his face daily with a relationship, an intimacy with God, you will lose that saltiness because you get mediocre, you get cold. Because you have that fellowship that you have with Jesus reflects your daily walk with God. Because when you go out, when you're out in this world, you will be tormented. You will be afflicted by the devil because he knows who you are. We cannot hide from him either. He studies you and me. He knows what we represent. He knows identically what we are and what we have become. And if he can make you and me become worthless and not to be salt at all, even though we are still salt, even though we don't realize it, he's got you. Not as far as salvation is concerned. That he cannot take away from you. But it's talking about your daily walk and your conduct as a Christian. Who do you reflect? Who do I reflect when we go out? Do we reflect Jesus? Do we reflect his second coming? Do we reflect all that? No, we miss it. We miss it. We sometimes gobble up. I do. But you know something? Jesus is still there. He leads you. As the song said, he leads me. He leads you to bring you back to where we belong. And to answer that question, how it is becoming the person that is supposed to be a Christian, that is a Christian, and he does not live according to what the Word of God says, we will go into the Old Testament and I'll show it to you, what it really means. And everybody knows exactly who we'll be talking about the minute I mention his name. If I would look at him and say, this guy is a Christian, he's supposed to be a child of God, that's beside the point. When the Word of God says he is, he is. And it's all about Lot. Everybody knows his story. Everybody knows what he was. The way he chose. When Abraham and Lot, they told, we have to split here. We cannot work together. You take this side, I take this side. He chose the riches of this world. He went into Sodom for all things into the world system of iniquity. But he chose that because he was thinking of the almighty dollar. The dollar is more important than my family. The dollar is more important than anything else. Oh, yeah, I have to feed my family. Excuses are excuses. But what about God? What about your future? What about your children? How are you going to tell them about Jesus if you are going into the world of iniquity, into the world of system, and then you try them to tell them about Jesus, and the world is saying this one, you're saying this way. Now, if your life is not preaching that gospel to him, it will not register to him. So when Lot came into Sodom, the sad story of the whole, what kind of salt was he? What kind of effectiveness did he have to his children? They were bad. If a family member, a family or a person that is married and can give his daughters over to homosexuality, you do exactly what you do with them, as long as don't touch these people, there's something wrong. We need to realize our conduct and our life when we present Jesus. It better be perfect before God. Because otherwise the devil can't touch you. If you are not perfect in the eyes of God, you are done. See, when the angels of the Lord came to Lot and told him, do you have anybody here in the city before we destroy it You better go tell them. We need to take them out of here. Now, here's the danger part of this whole salt shaker. He went out and he told his sons-in-laws that married his daughters, "So you're a fool. You're crazy. You're out of your mind." Why didn't they believe him? Why couldn't they believe what he was saying? Because he lost his saltness. It was trodden underfoot. Because they didn't believe, because his lifestyle did not prove his Christianity. He preached this and he lived this way. And it proves, if a born-again Christian can give his two daughters to homosexuality, to do to them whatever you want for them, there is something mightily wrong with that person. It doesn't say that he's not a Christian, because he's just lost his totally touch of God. Where the angels of the Lord say, "Okay, that's enough. They don't want to hear you. We have to take you out." And the sad story of this whole thing, when he took him out, when he went to that mountain, this is horrible. His daughters weren't any better. They said, "We better keep our seed going. We better get our father drunk, and so we can have babies." Something's wrong. Something does not jive, because he didn't care. He lived a mediocre Christian walk. He didn't care about the things of God, and that's what happens, and it can happen today too. It does happen. If you think you will get away, if we think we can get away in not walking and living for the Lord all our life, when you get older, the devil will get you, because you have no protection. You did not fill yourself up with the Word of God. You didn't get yourself to know Jesus. You didn't do nothing. The Holy Spirit was calling. How much is he still reaching out to us? How many times is he knocking on our door? "Come back to me. I want that relation, that intimacy with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be your friend. You are my precious, precious one that I saved. You are my beloved. I love you dearly." And if we do not take this to heart, trust me, the time is getting short. It's going to get worse and worse. And God is going to do it again. He's going to take his own out of here. Will you be able to stand upon the Word of God? Will it be strong enough in your heart that you can say, "Yes, Lord, take me home, I'm ready"? Or are we just going to church just to keep people at peace? How is our conduct? How is our hearts? How do we represent Jesus in our daily walk? And the thing is, the blessing of all this, when it comes to even as losing your salt, I will put a verse up. It's 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8. That's how God sees his children, even though you don't walk according. Because he knows the end results. He sees the end results from the end to the beginning. That's God. You don't take God by surprise. And it says, "And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Friends, that's what we're facing up right now in this old, the government passing laws that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to what God has in this good book, the Word of God that will stand and last forever. Whatever we have here in this world, if you don't ground yourself in the Word of God, you don't have nothing. And if I tell you, I'm going to, with all of my heart, if Jesus is truly within you, you will devour this book daily. You cannot keep away from it. Trust me. That's the only way the Holy Spirit can use you. And when he shows up, you don't have to say, "Well, I'll quit smoking, blah, I'll do this." No, nothing to do with that. The Holy Spirit does the job for you. The more you get from Jesus, the more you be like Jesus. It's that the way it works. You don't have to put that effort in. The only effort you have to put in, you and me, is to make an effort to talk to him and turn to him daily for our provision. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. And thank you very much.
The Lord tells us we're the salt of the earth. And salt does have work to do. We're in the last days. And is the salt getting stale? Or is it getting stronger? That's each and every individual choice, is to get stronger. By what? By studying the Word of God, filling your heart with what He wants you to do. Today I got an interesting message on what's going to happen to the salt. You like it. How many of you are salt of the earth? Raise your hands for the fun of it. One or two? I pity you guys. If you hear this message, you wish you were all salt. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You can't go to see God in heaven with the body you have. It has to change. It'll change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Yes, the salt is going to become something else. So, didn't you wish your salt? Because the salt that's here now is going to last for eternity. Once it meets this God, in a twinkling of an eye, it says, we shall be changed. We will not disappear. It's not going to be a secret. Everybody will know about it. See, that's where the naysayers make fun. Oh, there's going to be a secret rapture. God is going to take them out of here very secretly. No, it's going to be a noisy thing. Thunder and lightning and crying and people changing. It's going to be something incredible to watch. That's going to be the sign of the Antichrist when he steps on the scene afterwards, with his lying signs and wonders. John Hagee, I don't know if anybody listens to you. Anybody can stand on the mountain with a white robe on and say that he's Jesus. But try taking your children from this planet in a moment, in a split second. That's the real test. That proves who really Jesus is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For the times and the season, brethren, you have no need I write unto you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Listen to this. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. There shall be no escape. Do we have peace and safety now? No, we don't. There's going to be a time here when it'll look relatively peaceful. So I'm waiting for that time. I'm waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to hit this planet, because people will know something is about to happen, and many, many millions will turn to God. It'll shut down bars, movie theaters, pornography on the internet, because people will know God is starting to move, and He means business. It says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you are the children of light. We should be prepared for that. We should know all about that. We should know that Jesus is coming back. We're not the children of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, we are of the day, we know God. Let's be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. How many of us here and over the internet have the helmet that's in here, the hope of salvation? How many of you know that you belong to God and that you're going with Him in that split second? It's up to each and every one. You have to know that you're going with Him. For God, listen to this. Are we going through the tribulation? Some say we have to go through there to get cleansed. I once had an argument with a couple in the States, and they said to me, Brother Dave, there's people who are just going to sit outside of heaven. They'll never enter to see the Father's face. I said, why? You're not good enough. I said, you call them Christians. Is the blood of Jesus Christ not good enough for them, that they have to sit out there and wait for the rest of eternity? Maybe they'll get a glimpse. No, I told them, the blood is sufficient to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It makes you sufficient that you're righteous enough to see the face of God. It's the blood of Christ that makes you right, not your good or your bad. So, turn to this God. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Which wrath is He talking about? The tribulation. You have to take it in context. This whole thing is talking about the tribulation. But has obtained what we have obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, those who have God, they have it made. They don't have to be worried. When God calls, they're going to be gone. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the salt of this earth is going to be removed, and all decay and hell will break loose on this planet. It says in 2 Thessalonians, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only He now holds back. The old King James Version so says, will let, until He be taken out of the way. We, the salt, have to be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the question is, who has to be taken away? Who will take us away? It's our God. We will have no choice in the matter. Once we have Christ, we are going to be changed because we belong to the one who created us and then saved us. I like this last verse, Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell upon the earth. I love this scripture. He will keep you from that awful time of tribulation that is coming to try them that dwell on the earth. So for those who know God, there's nothing to be scared of. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore, for this is the will of Christ. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus, who saves you. So open your heart to him. Become his. You on the internet, you're cleansed by the blood, not by the good things you do. If you depend on yourself, you're going to end up in the tribulation and then maybe afterwards in the lake of fire. So turn to God now. We only have one life, and it'll soon be past. And those who don't take that chance is never ever coming back again. For the rest of eternity, you will have to be suffering without God. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to the one who saved you. Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. God sent his son. Joy he brings. greater still.